When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. The Skin Dancer, Tracks of Terror in Navajo Nation. Welcome, dear listeners, to Whispers from the Dark. I am your host, Raven Vale, and tonight, our journey takes us to a land as ancient as time itself, a place of stark, breathtaking beauty, where the sun beats down on rust-red mesas and the wind carries the dust of forgotten centuries. We are going to the high desert plains of New Mexico, specifically the remote, often unforgiving stretches that border and crisscross the Navajo Nation in the autumn of 1971. Here, beneath skies that stretch forever, the boundary between the known and the unknowable is thinner than a breath. And sometimes, something crosses over, leaving behind a trail of terror that defies all earthly explanation. Our story centers on two men, lifelong friends, who were as much a part of this rugged landscape as the juniper trees that dotted the arroyos. Frank and Silas, they ran a modest cattle operation, their ranch a collection of weathered buildings clinging to existence miles from any paved road. They were tough, independent, seasoned by years of battling the elements, wrangling livestock, and navigating the vast, often deceptive terrain. They knew the land's every whisper, every deceptive shadow, every hidden crevice. They were men who could handle themselves against any ordinary threat, human or animal. Or so they thought. The morning of September 15th, 1971, dawned with an oppressive stillness, a quiet that seemed to absorb all sound. Neighbors who relied on a shared radio frequency for communication grew concerned when Frank and Silas failed to make their usual morning check-in. By noon, a small group of concerned ranchers from nearby properties, accustomed to the unpredictability of remote life, organized a search. They knew Frank and Silas rarely strayed far from their usual grazing routes, and the desert, despite its beauty, could turn treacherous quickly. The first discovery was made mid-afternoon, roughly 7 miles from the ranch house, near a dry wash. It was Frank, or rather, what remained of him. His body had been dismembered with a chilling, almost surgical precision. Limbs severed, torso rent open. There was no sign of scavenging animals. The flesh was raw, freshly torn. The ground around him was disturbed, but bore no clear signs of a struggle consistent with a human attacker. The sight was horrific, turning the stoic ranchers' stomachs and curdling their blood. This was not the work of a bear, nor a mountain lion, nor any animal they knew. This was something else. Something intelligent. Something profoundly malevolent. The search intensified, now fueled by a desperate, sickening fear for Silas. Sheriff Brody, a man whose face was as weathered as the land he patrolled, arrived on the scene, his usual calm demeanor giving way to a grim set to his jaw. He immediately called in state assistance, knowing this was beyond the scope of local resources. As the sun began to dip towards the western horizon, casting long, eerie shadows across the land, the second grim discovery was made. Silas's remains were found. Miles away from Frank, in a different direction, near an isolated rock formation. His body, too, was dismembered, equally brutally. The scattering of their parts across such a wide, rugged expanse spoke not of a hurried escape, but of a deliberate, terrifying act of dispersal. As the investigators tried to connect the two gruesome scenes, looking for a trail, a clue, anything that could point to a perpetrator, they stumbled upon the truly inexplicable. Between Frank's dismembered body and Silas's distant remains, across the sandy, rocky terrain, they found tracks. But these were no ordinary tracks. They were a nightmare etched into the desert floor. The imprints began, unmistakably, as the paw prints of a large canine, perhaps a wolf or a large dog, clear, deep, showing the pads and claws. Then, after several yards, the prints began to subtly, impossibly, change. The pads elongated, the claws retracted, the distinct impression of canine paws slowly morphed into the unmistakable hoof prints of a deer, a large buck by the size and spacing. The deer tracks continued for a stretch, equally clear and precise. And then, the ultimate horror. The deer hoof prints transitioned, gradually, unsettlingly, into the distinct bare footprints of a human. Large, splayed, adult human feet. These human prints continued for a terrifyingly short distance before they simply vanished. Just stopped. As if the entity had simply lifted off the ground or ceased to exist, leaving no further trace in the soft earth. The seasoned trackers, men who could read the desert like a book, were utterly baffled. They'd never seen anything like it. It defied logic, biology, and all known laws of physics. The tracks were too distinct to be a trick of light or a series of different animals. It was a single, impossible progression, a living testament to something that could change its form with terrifying fluidity. Sheriff Brody, after examining the evidence himself, felt a cold dread settle in his bones, a dread far deeper than any murder case had ever inspired. This was not human. This was not animal. This was something else. As the police investigation stalled, the official report citing cause of death unknown and suspect unknown, the truth, or what was believed to be the truth, circulated in hushed tones among the local Navajo community. They needed no explanation, no forensic analysis. The dismembered bodies, the impossible tracks, these were terrifyingly familiar signatures. They knew what it was. But when questioned by Sheriff Brody or other outsiders, the locals became intensely, almost stubbornly, silent. Their faces became unreadable, their gazes distant. They would offer no theories, no names, no help, not out of disrespect for the dead, but out of a profound, ancient fear. The fear of speaking the name, of acknowledging the presence, of drawing unwanted attention to themselves. To speak of such a thing was to invite its gaze, to make oneself known to it. It was a taboo, a sacred warning etched into their very being. Do not speak of it. The sheriff, a pragmatic man of the law, found himself caught between the horrifying, unexplainable facts and the chilling, impenetrable silence of the community. He saw the genuine terror in their eyes, a terror that went beyond mere superstition. He knew what they weren't saying. He had seen the tracks. He had seen the dismemberment. And slowly, silently, a cold dread began to consume him. He understood, on a primal level, that there were forces at play in this ancient land that his badge and gun could not comprehend, let alone combat. Just weeks after Frank and Silas were laid to rest, Sheriff Brody resigned from his post. He offered no public explanation, simply packed his things and left Nye County, a haunted look in his eyes, taking the unspoken horror of the case with him. The case of Frank and Silas, two men consumed by something beyond human understanding, became a chilling footnote in the annals of unsolved mysteries. But in the quiet corners of the reservation, and in the hushed conversations of those few outsiders who dared to speak of it, a terrifying term was whispered. The Skin Dancer. A shape-shifting entity, born of dark magic and malevolent intent, capable of shedding one form for another, of moving with impossible stealth, of inflicting a brutal, terrifying death, a creature that dismembers not out of rage, but with a chilling, ritualistic precision, scattering its victims across the sacred land. What truly happened that autumn in 1971, dear listeners? Was it a malevolent being from ancient Navajo lore, a skinwalker that stalked Frank and Silas, an entity that could change its form at will, testing its monstrous power on the unsuspecting? The tracks, a taunting display of its impossible nature, a chilling signature left for those who dared to follow. The dismemberment, a perverse act, perhaps to prevent the spirit from finding peace, or to serve some unspeakable purpose. The silence of the locals, a testament to generations of fear, a deep cultural understanding of a horror that cannot be fought with bullets or reason, only avoided through silence and respect. In the vast empty landscapes of New Mexico and the Navajo Nation, where the wind still whispers through the canyons and the stars burn bright in the cold desert sky, the memory of Frank and Silas persists, and with it, the chilling knowledge that sometimes, in the dark, silent stretches of the world, something ancient and malevolent can walk among us, shedding skins, blurring the lines between man and beast, leaving behind only impossible tracks and a terror so profound, it can drive good men to abandon their lives rather than speak its name. Until next time, when the whispers grow louder, good night.